to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang in the last segment of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Psy. I'm Team Radio Psy's Bishu, and along with me is Psy Prakash. And we are doing the chapter 10 of Prema Vahini. If you have been following this series, we have had the opportunity of having Mr. H.J. Bhagya, endearingly called as Bhagya Sir, with us for deliberating on the segments of Prema Vahini chapter 10. And it is really Bhagwan's blessings that he is again with us. So we'll move on from the segment 10.5, which we did last time. So we'll move on to segment 10.6. So I will play now what Bhagwan has written in this segment, and then we will listen to Bhagya Sir for his reflections.
మొదటపై ప్రేమను మానవులు పొందుటకు ముఖ్యంగా గమనించవలసిన విషయాలు రెండున్నవి. అవి ఏవనా? ఒకటి, ఇతరులు చేయనట్టి పెద్ద తప్పైనను దానిని చిన్నదిగా భావించవలను. వారికి వారు చేయు చిన్న తప్పైనను పెద్ద తప్పుగా భావించవలను. ఇందుమూలమున మనం పెద్ద తప్పులు చేయకుండుటకు అడ్డుగా ఉండును. ఇతరుల తప్పులను పాటించక వారితో సమరసత్వము ఏర్పడును. మన సాధనకు కావలసిన ఓర్పు, ప్రేమ ప్రాప్తించును.
టు అచీవ్ ద అఫోమెన్షన్ లవ్, దేర్ ఆర్ టూ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ వన్ షుడ్ టేక్ నోట్ ఆఫ్. దే ఆర్ ఫస్ట్లీ to consider the faults of others, however big they may be, as insignificant. And two, to consider the faults of oneself, however small they may be, as big. This will guard oneself against committing big errors. Only when one does not hold on to the errors of others can one be cordial with them. This will grant us the necessary love and patience needed for our sadhana.
So here we have, if you see the previous segment, Bhagwan says that the Supreme Lord is attainable only to the one who is filled with supreme devotion, which is supreme love. And I was just thinking, you know, one would think that, okay, supreme love could mean that, you know, pining for the Lord, thinking about the Lord. But here Bhagwan is saying that if you want that kind of love, if you want to achieve that kind of love, then you have to consider the faults of others as insignificant and consider the faults of yours as big. Isn't that something very interesting, sir?
Yes, actually, on this issue, I have gone through some difficult stages. I used to consider that, yes, I have a habit of telling whatever I think and doing whatever I say. And if somebody comes and shows a bit of hypocrisy, then I used to be very upset. I used to dislike such a person. And that used to give rise to anger in me. So, one day it so happened, I recalled my childhood story when Swami brought this to my conscious notice. My elder brother, I was say 7 years old, my elder brother had promised me that on a Sunday he will take me for outing in the evening. It so happened, his friends came and he spent time with them and he ignored me. When I told him that I also want to come with you, he said no. Oh. Then I said, but you had promised me.
Hmm.
Then he had no reply. Because I was angry, I picked up the bunch of keys lying on the windowsill in the house and hit him on his forehead.
Oh my God.
It started bleeding, and till his last moment, that mark didn't go away.
Oh my God.
Now, it was known that I don't feel angry just like that. If somebody promises and says that he will do, and he doesn't do without without assigning the reason, then I used to lose temper.
Must have been.
Now, very... that's a fault. Hmm. Trying to find the fault with others. When I came here, Swami gradually taught me that each one is progressing. You can't expect a change from person just by telling him once and you think the next moment onwards he will behave what he has agreed for. So still I was not happy about it. It took very long time to overcome the anger. Then, frankly, Swami worked on me on small things he used to point out and provoke anger in me.
Oh.
So much so, once I was seated, he came, I kneeled down, or I was walking on my knees to have a slight close interaction with Bhagavan. He pointed out at my hair. He said, why are they growing vertical up? Because my hair, in my mind, I couldn't say openly, in my mind, I told him, Lord, this is your design, not my design. I should be asking you why my hair is standing like this. Swami smiled, but I got the lesson that he is purposely creating the opportunity where I lose temper.
Oh.
So likewise, it went on. Then one day I sat calmly and I recollected my chemical engineering operations, especially the chemistry part of it. And when we make certain items, be it chemicals or solids or whatever it may be, then we check for the purity. And for instance, in the gold also, we see that how much pure, 18 carats, 22 carats, 24 carats, and so on. What Swami wants, that we should be absolutely pure. So, he would highlight our weak points, or rather impurities, let me take it from chemical engineering point of view. In a substance, if there is 0.1% impurity, substance is 99.9% pure, so it meets the specification in general. But Swami will not give you praises because you are 99.9% pure. He will say you have got 0.1% impurity. In fact, he will not just say 0.1%. He will say that you have got 1000 ppm impurities. Now, ppm is parts per million. 1000 parts per million is same as 0.1%, yes. Calculations wise.
Mm.
But he will draw your attention on a very high figure that you have to work on this 1000 ppm. You are keeping impurities 1000 ppm. So you work very hard on this. You bring it down to maybe 100 ppm, 10 ppm. 1 ppm, thinking now 1 ppm is all right. Just to give you an idea, 1 ppm is if you take 1 gram of salt and put it in 1000 liters of water, that will be the impurity. You can just imagine 1 gram. But he will say that you have got 1 ppm.
Oh my
Not,
God.
Now when it comes to 1 ppm, again he will magnify. He will say you have got 1000 ppb. Impurities. 1000 parts per billion is same as 1 part per million.
Mm.
But the idea is that when we want to merge with Lord, the ultimate goal of life, He will not accept any impurities. So we have to work on our impurities rather than pointing out fingers at the problems or impurities or negative things in others. And how He pacified me to be away from that? He said, all of you come to me with certain background. During avatarhood, only few people can reach the goal. But everybody would have progressed further. If you continue in the same process, then if not now, later on after maybe few births, you will reach the goal. So this is the lesson I learned, that how to consider the faults of others, however big they may be, consider them insignificant because they should not bother you. My observation after coming here is, it used to be earlier also, but now the conscious awareness that Swami gives us so many examples of what not to be and very few examples of what one should be.
That's a nice perspective.
Yeah, because if I keep on pointing fingers at others, I will lose attention on my progress.
So you are only grateful to them.
Yeah, in fact, so. You should be grateful to them that He pointed out the problems or impurities or faults in us. And another thing, many times the students used to ask me that Swami does so much for us. How do we express gratitude to Bhagavan? Then Swami is Antaryami. One such interaction, Swami Himself said that, boys, I don't need anything from any one of you. You go out, set an ideal example. That is expression of your gratitude to me. That means Swami again focuses on the individual rather than the society or the world. According to me, what limited understanding I have, the creation is based on duality. Right and wrong, good and bad, day and night, black and white. So, to consider that I will remove the negativity from the world or from the creation is expression of foolishness. Or thinking that I am very intelligent, I can do this. But when you become wiser, then you will correct yourself and set an ideal example.
So you, as Swami should say, you correct your own drishti.
That's
then
it.
The srishti becomes fine.
Oh yes, correct.
Wonderful, sir. In fact, I was just reminded of what Mother Teresa used to say also, that if you judge people, you will have no time to love them.
Wonderful.
So difficult to love if you go on judging. In fact, there's a very beautiful poem also of Mother Teresa on this, and I find that very inspiring, where, you know, she says that people are often unreasonable, illogical and self-centered, which we'll find that often. She says, forgive them anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight.
Wow.
Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will forget tomorrow. Do good anyway.
Wow.
Give the world the best you have. It may never be enough. Give the world the best you have got anyway. And the last sentence is so fantastic. She says, you see, in the ultimate analysis, it was between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.
Wow.
When Swami is talking about these two things, that is, consider the faults of others small and your own faults big, two aspects come to mind, sir. One is the whole concept of seeing others' faults. That is one. You see others' faults and others' virtues. And so as long as there's duality, you tend to see faults and virtues in others. But another aspect very much related to this is comparison. So you start comparing yourself with others. Now, how are you to say that somebody's fault is very huge? Because you think that you do not have that fault. And so you think that fault in that person is very huge. And sometimes, you know, when Swami was around physically, and we see, as you rightly said, Swami takes people to task for very simple things, for very small mistakes, Swami publicly, you know, chastises them. But on the other hand, somebody is just let go, even if they have done something apparently very big in our eyes. Yes. You know, Swami used to narrate this very interesting story, because everybody is at a different level. So he used to narrate the story of a Brahmin was walking past a lake. And so there are some beautiful lotuses in the lake. And the Brahmin thinks, he says, the sage thinks, how wonderful if I take these flowers and offer it to the Lord. So as he's thinking, one hunter comes, just plucks all the flowers and goes. And he, before he could realize what is it, the Yaksha, who is the owner of the lake, he is the owner of that entire garden and the lake, he comes and he scolds the sage. He says, how dare you steal my flowers?
Oh my God.
The sage was like totally, he said, are you blind or something? I mean, I only thought, such a noble thought, that let me take these flowers and offer it to the Lord. I mean, that is only a thought. He says, no. At your level of purity, even a thought is as good as having done it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Your thought itself has, you know, is as powerful as you doing that action. At the level of the hunter, he came and he plucked and went. I can't blame him. That is his level. So, you know, when we talk about seeing the faults in others and seeing the faults in ourselves, so many things come to mind, sir, like this, like comparison. And also, taking Swami's own life as example.
Yes.
Like the amount of criticism that Swami has faced and amount of, we have narrated this episode several times in, you know, several series, but again, when a journalist came to Swami and he said, Swami, why is there so much criticism? You are pure love. You are an embodiment of love. I can't understand why there is so much of criticism against you. Then Swami smiled and he said, it is not their fault. He said, Swami, but they are criticizing you. They are putting it in newspapers. And Swami said, they are trying to understand me with their mind. I am above the mind, sir. I am just above the mind. A small change in the apparatus. You know, you are using the mind as your measuring stick. And you are using that as your apparatus. You change the apparatus. I am beyond the mind. You can't catch me with the mind.
Wow.
So,
fantastic.
that's what...
Actually, one small equation comes to my mind. It's really very useful.
Mm-hmm.
At least I found it, it came to me in early 90s from Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
One VIP told me how to deal with Bhagwan in terms of getting returns from of what you do, good or bad. It's wonderful. Being a mathematics student also, it appealed to me very, very well. He said that Bhagwan is like a mirror, 100% pure reflection. What you think of it, think of him, it comes back to you. You do good, it comes back to you good. If you do bad, bad comes to you. Very nice. He said to Bhagwan, that VIP had asked question Bhagwan, Swamiji, this boy, he has been always doing good, but you never praise him in public. But other guy, he is not that intelligent and hardworking, but still you praise him. I don't understand your equation. There, Swami revealed some equation to him. I have not talk to that gentleman directly, but I came to know the equation. It appealed to me very well. He said, if you do good and Swami comes and praises you, the score you earn is zero. Because what you did, you got the rewards back. But if you do good, Swami neglects you, doesn't mention about it, your score is plus one. Another, if you do good, Swami not only neglects you, but comes and gives you firing in front of others.
Double promotion.
Double promotion. You get plus 2 marks.
Wow.
Plus 2 score. Now come to other side. If you do something wrong, Swami comes and we lose terms, blasts you or shows anger, then your karma is nullified. You get zero. If you do wrong and Swami keeps quiet, you get minus one. And if you do wrong, Swami comes and praises you, you get minus two.
Oh my God.
So fantastic. Be careful.
Yeah.
Don't think that Swami doesn't know. He will do totally.
And he will, the moment you think that he doesn't know, he will only act more and more as if he does, that he doesn't know. Yeah.
So, this also teaches us that we should keep on doing good without expecting anything in return. In any case, it is recorded in our accounts book.
Do good anyway.
Anyway, yeah, that's what you said also.
Wow, wonderful, sir. So should we move on to the next segment?
Yeah, well, why not? Yes, it's well dealt with.
ఇక రెండవది చాటున కాని బహిరంగముగా కాని నీవేమి చేసినను పరమాత్ముడు చూచుచున్నాడని తలంచుతూ, నీవేది మాట్లాడినా పరమాత్ముడు వింటున్నాడని జాగరూకుడవై సత్యాసత్యములు గమనించి సత్యమునే పలుకుటకు న్యాయాన్యాయములు గమనించి న్యాయమే చేయుటకు ప్రయత్నించవలెను.
Secondly, one must be conscious that God is watching everything that one does, whether overtly or covertly. One should be alert to the fact that whatever one speaks is being heard by the Lord. One should discriminate between truth and untruth and speak only the truth. And after carefully analyzing what is justice and what is not, one should strive to do only the just.
Wow. This is the second point of how prema should be cultivated.
Yes.
The first one is about the faults, and second one is being aware of God's omnipresence.
Yes. So, umpteen number of stories, umpteen number of times, Bhagavan has revealed His omnipresence, omniscience and omnipotence. There are n number of interactions and observations. One very significant, I would, why one, two, three stories come to my mind.
Please, sir.
When I joined, I thought that it is my duty to let everything be known to Bhagwan. I used to set a question paper and give it to Bhagwan, the copy of it. If he approves, then I used to feel confident that yes, boys will be able to take it. Once or twice he did it. I joined in 86 November onwards regularly. In December itself, when I was sending the mark sheets to the administration, before sending it, I again gave a copy to Bhagwan that if in case I have made any mistakes in calculations or adding, or then while looking at the mark sheet, Bhagwan said, I know everything, sir. Since then, I did not write any letter to Bhagwan because I know that he is omnipresent, he is Hridayavasi, he is omniscient. So it is my limited understanding that I have to inform him whatever I am doing. Once it so happened, in the hostel, a new dispensary was open, homeopathy section, and they had made me in charge of that. And 20 boys were working. Then Swami that year had promised warden that I will come to the hostel because few new departments were constructed and started. Then the dispensary boys told warden sir, the sir, please pray to Bhagwan on our behalf that Swami should visit dispensary also. Then I said, yes, that's very right. In fact, once he comes, every medicine dispensed with will have a power of divinity and it will cure all the students. So what boys did, all 20 of them, those who were in charge in the dispensary, they wrote letters praying to Bhagwan to visit dispensary. They told me that, sir, you also write letter. Because I have had the background, I said, no, I don't write letters to Bhagwan. He knows in any case. No, no, sir, please, you also write, then Swami will definitely come. I said, see, if you force me, I'll just fold blank paper and put it in the envelope and give it to you. No, sir, please, you write. Then, because they were forcing, I said, I closed my eyes. I said, for a few seconds, I said, that yes, I wrote a letter to Bhagwan and I sent it and he has acknowledged that letter.
Mentally.
Mentally. So boys thought that, that now sir is not going to give us the letter. Warden sir took the letters to Bhagwan, Swami, dispensary boys. I know. How many places you want me to visit? You have brought 21 letters. Mind you, physically, there were 20 letters.
Wow. My God.
Swami said, you have brought 21 letters. And that Pagal Bhagya, he has also written a letter. He acknowledged
my,
only that.
My
letter.
God.
Of course, Swami did come. And he graced his
God.
Presence over there. So, this is one such example. Not that he makes us frightened, but he repeatedly, even physical form when he was there, he was giving us the lesson that I'm always there, whether I physically see or not. Another one, once in the class, one student asked me, sir, how do we deal with the beggars? I said, why, what's the problem? No, sir, they come at odd time, they will pester you, they want something from you, and for instance, you are traveling the train, and you just opened your lunch box, and they come and try to plead to you that very, you know, you feel very odd. How do we, what do we do? Or they come and ask you some alms. Then one story came to my mind. My wife's uncle, he had told me that what should be the attitude towards poor people when you are giving. He said, when a person, needy person is coming to you, you must always thank God that that person has come to remind you that it is not your choice, it is God's grace that you are not born like that beggar. And when you are giving some alms or help to such person, it is not just throwing something because he is disturbing you. It is a fees you are paying and you are giving him an invitation that you come again. Please keep on reminding me that I am not born as you. I am born as I am. I like this story very much. So that story came to my mind when boys were asking me. Then I finished that story. Boys also agreed that yes, we will try and change our attitude towards giving to the needy people. In the afternoon, evening session in Mandir, Swamiji came after finishing interviews, came to me. He said, Aaj class mein kya padhaya? Bhagya, what did you teach in the class? I was recalling. I said, Swamiji, I had a few sessions in the morning, few in the afternoon. He said, no, afternoon, what did you teach? Afternoon was production management. But Swamiji was not the... I was thinking, what Swami, why is Swami asking? Swamiji, production management? No. Hey, you are telling stories in the class. I thought, oh, my gosh. He knows everything. He not only knows everything, he told me a story. I was wondering which story and what topic, which connection. I had totally forgotten. Then Swami reminded me, kya, you are telling beggar something.
Wow.
Then I recollected. Yes, Swami, yes. He said, you are calling beggar as a beggar?
My God.
I said, Swamiji, my wife's uncle told me the story. Same story I was narrating to them. I was telling them that what should be the attitude when something, hey, beggar is also Narayana. You also form of a Narayana. You should be happy that God has made you at a stage slightly higher than another person. And the act of giving is also Narayana. Receiving is also Narayana. So never ever think that you are the giver and another person, receiver, is a beggar. So this reminded me, not only listens, but
he corrects.
So if I keep that in mind, that all the time Swami is watching me, he is listening to me, he is ready to correct me. So physical form may be away at the moment, but when we listen to our conscience, it'll go on telling us throughout the day. In fact, more we listen to it on the spot, it'll guide us what should be done, what should not be done.
Wow. In fact, there's so many stories, as you're mentioning, sir, that come to my mind. Actually, mm-hmm. This is one beautiful story that was once narrated by Sainath, sir.
Mm.
Many times whenever these dignitaries come to Prashant Nilayam, Swami would ask a few boys to look after their needs and hospitality. So there was one occasion when the chief minister of the state of Andhra Pradesh had come, and Bhagwan had asked Sainath sir and one more brother to look after him. And so the evening darshans were over, and he was a very powerful person, that chief minister, and apart from his position also politically, given his stature in the party and everything, he was a very powerful person. And so there were a lot of people who were trying to get his attention. And so that evening, suddenly there is a huge knock on the door. It was not a polite knock. No? It was like somebody was banging the door.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, the guests used to stay in Pune Chandra Auditorium. Swami used to stay in the Mandir. And so this brother, Sainath sir, and another brother who were there inside, they were alarmed. So they went and they opened the door. And they find there a politician, you know, who's haughty and arrogant. And he just barged in. He didn't even ask their permission. He just wanted to see the chief minister, and he just came in.
Oh.
And so these people are trying to stop him politely. Sir, please. He said, just move aside. And you were just walking in. So finally, Sainath sir said, you know, can you please at least remove your slippers? You know? He said, I told you to just move aside. And he was walking in. So finally, he didn't know what to do. So he went and he politely told, sir, at least can I take your slippers? Give me your slippers. I will keep it outside. You go and meet the chief minister. No problem. Please give me your slippers. He just brushes him aside and he walks in. So then he's clueless, Sainath sir. And there's the another brother who was also looking after the guest. He was a very well-built brother. So he stopped him at the next door.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't allow him to go. So he almost like banged into him. And so he goes again infuriated. He said, just move aside. He said, no sir, I'm not allowing you inside. You have to remove your slippers. And he is now infuriated. He said, do you know who I am? And all that. Whoever you may be, sir, you have to remove your slippers. And still he was not listening. So finally this brother said, sir, are you going to remove your slippers? Or should I go right now and complain to the chief minister about your misbehavior. That sort of hit him. Because, you know, perhaps he has come for some favor from the chief minister or whatever, and, you know, his political career could be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
So that sort of stopped him, and so somehow reluctantly he went and, you know, he left his slippers, and then he came and, you know, he had his meeting with the chief minister, and then he left. And, you know, the brothers forgot about that incident because, you know, there's nothing pleasant to really remember or to discuss or to share with anyone. Anyway, chief minister, the next day Swami gave interview to the chief minister, he left, and everything was fine. After many days, suddenly Swami in the veranda, morning bhajan time actually, just before morning bhajan is about to start, and there are only very few boys in the veranda and 2-3 guests, and then Swami tells General Chibber, at that point in time, sir used to come, who has written this books on leadership. So Swami said, Chibber, do you know, chief minister had come, and you know, he was very happy with the ashram, he was very happy with the boys and all that, and Swami said, but you know, his people behaved with our boys. misbehaved with our boys. And Chibber said, what happened, Swami? And then Swami looked at Saina and said, hey, tell what happened. Nobody knew about it because, you know, both of them were, they didn't tell anything. And then he narrated everything from start to finish, whatever has happened. Then Swami said, okay, so when he did that to you, what did you do? He said, Swami, I requested him, but he was not listening. Then what did you do? Swami, I told him, if he gives me the slippers, I will keep it outside. But still he didn't listen. Swami, he just pushed me aside. And then Swami looked at Chibber and said, see, this is my student. See how humble he is. And then Swami looked at Sainath sir, and said, see, if you're so soft, so mild, people will simply take you for a ride. You can't get things done, Swami tells. And then Swami goes to the bhajan hall. And in the bhajan hall, again there are some elders sitting there. And Swami starts the story again. And Swami says, you know, chief minister had come and he was very happy with the ashram. But you know, there were some politicians who didn't behave well with our boys. And then so the guest asked Swami, what happened? Then now Swami looks at the other boy who was part of the bhajan group. And Swami says, hey, tell what happened that night. So this boy again recounted the entire story, what happened. And then Swami told the guest, then Swami asked him, okay, what did you do? Swami, I just warned him, I just told him that if you don't leave your slippers, I will immediately go now and tell the chief minister. That's it, Swami. He was rattled and shattered. He went and did his job. Then Swami looked at the guests and Swami said, see, this is my boy. Swami said, they know how to react at the right time with the right person in the right manner.
Wow.
And then Swami looked at this boy specifically and said, see, sometimes you have to know how to be polite. If you are like this rash and brash with everybody, people will misunderstand you. I just thought, such a fantastic example of, as you are saying, no, he listens everything.
Everything.
He's very, he is not only conscious, but all the time he's busy correcting. The right person in the right manner, at the right time, in the right way.
Wonderful.
This statement, yes, when Swami is saying, the second half of it, he says, God is omnipresent. Mm. He sees and hears and knows everything. Mm. Whatever you speak, remember that God hears every word. Discriminate between the true and false and speak only the truth. One thing, as I was reading this and listening to Swami, what struck me is, you know, there are three types of expression. One is thought, word and deed. Mm-hmm. Swami is telling, be very cautious about what you speak and what you do. He is not telling about thought. Mm-hmm. See, because controlling thought is not in our hands. Like, so we, many students would ask Swami, Swami, bad thoughts are coming, how mm-hmm. to control the mind, all these questions. Mm-hmm. Students generally ask Swami, and Swami used to keep saying, these are passing clouds. passing clouds. Thoughts will come and go. Don't give them importance. Mm. So when I was seeing this, it just reminded me that Swami is giving importance to what comes out from you. Like, make sure that every word that comes out from you is, pleasing to Swami. Like, if you offer it to Swami, that's what.
Even Swami says that if you can't oblige, at least you speak obligingly.
Obligingly.
That's true. It's very important because of the word. Person can be praised or rise up to high post, but with the same word, he could make so many enemies around him.
Mm.
So it's very important how we speak. He says, softly, politely, lovingly, don't lose temper, which I have first and experience how much he had to work on me, Swamiji.
Wonderful. So we'll move on to the next segment, sir.
Yeah, why not? It's wonderful.
ఎట్లనా దేహము జీవునకట్లు దేవాలయము, ఆ దేహమును దేవాలయమున ఏ భాగమున ఏమి జరుగుతున్నను, ఎట్లు జీవుడు దాన్ని మంచి చెడ్డలను గమనించుతున్నాడో అదే రీతిగా లోకమే లోకేశుని శరీరము. ఆ శరీరమున ఏ భాగమున ఎట్టి మంచి చెడ్డలు జరుగుచుండినను లోకేశునికి తెలియను. ఇట్టి స్థూల భావములను ఆధారంగా తీసుకున్ననే సూక్ష్మ భావములు సూటిగా నాటును.
You may ask how. Just like the body is the temple of the individual soul, and the soul is in cognition of everything, whether good or bad, that occurs in any part of the body, similarly, the world is the body of God, and whatever happens, whether good or bad, in any part of the world, is in complete knowledge of God. Only when we take this gross aspect as the basis will we be able to precisely grasp the subtle aspect.
Wow.
How is God omniscient? That is what Bhagavan is very beautifully explaining. Yes, sir.
Sometime I discussed with the biosciences students.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful example in our body, as already mentioned, hinted here. You take a body's cell from any part of the body. Body is made of millions of cells. Whether you take it from hand, ear, brain, or stomach, anywhere, feet, excuse me, the cells of the body, particularly the DNA structure, will be same. Now, one group of cells come together, they form, say, nose. Other group of cells form eyes, ears, mouth, and so on. Each group of cells have been assigned a proper task, a specific task. Ear can hear. Ear cannot test. Hand, or in general skin, can feel. Skin cannot hear. So on. For instance, if I want to test whether it is hot or cold, I'll not put it in my ear. I'll touch with the hand. Or if I want to hear anything in a room next to me, I'll not just put my hand inside that room. And because cells are same, so they should be able to do hearing as well. No. All the cells belong to my body. And each part of the body has a different function. Similarly, each one of us is a small, one tiny cell in the divine body of God.
Hmm.
Now, we have to also understand, go a little deeper, that if some cells are making a part which we consider as a dirty part in our body, they have assigned tasks. If they don't do, if a person is not able to remove the unwanted things from the body, body will suffer. So we have to keep those parts of the body also in good condition, working condition. It's our duty, because it's part of my body. Similarly, in the society, in the world, some people, they do apparently good according to us, and some people may not be doing good, or they are bad. That is our perception. But in the divine body of God, each person has an assigned role. We cannot understand that that person is, how he is doing good to the society. Lord only knows. So, therefore, when we take that as attitude, then our perception to the society and to the people will be such that everybody is designed by Lord. I should do my duty properly. Leave it to him. Put together, all of us, when we are functioning, that is Lord's design. That really will lift us up spiritually. Rather than criticizing, commenting, trying to compare the my role and with somebody else's role. Even a snake has a role. Cockroach has a role. Cockroach, if he doesn't eat all the things, I think you will require a lot of efforts and money to remove the unwanted things from the system, from garbage or toilets. Each person, each these cell, each species have been assigned some work so that overall the world operates very smoothly. So this is very, very true when it is said that God, whatever happens, whether good or bad, in any part of the world, is in the complete knowledge of God. He knows what is happening. We should not think that God probably doesn't pay attention, this should be removed. Yes, He gives us an opportunity to change yourself. You be good. It is my own understanding that the basis of the creation is duality. You can be good, remove the unwanted or wrong thing, but you cannot remove the evil from the whole world. Because I'm not giving challenge, my observation, so many avatars came and went, so many saints and sages are coming and going. Has the negativity ever gone away from the society? It will never go. So creation is based on the duality, good, bad, right, wrong. You can change yourself.
Yes.
You can influence some people around you.
Yes.
But you cannot remove negativity from the world. Lord makes it balance. Ultimately, it's a big zero, positive and negative. So we should not unnecessarily worry about anybody else.
Wow. In fact, that's what I remember in conversations with people, you know. If you ask someone, when will golden age come? You know, there are some people who says, okay, golden age will come in this year, 2030, 2050 and all that. And there are other people who say, golden age already here. What do you mean? Somebody says, no, golden age already started 100 years ago. So I think it is all our perspective. What you want to see is what you will see in the world. And there's also one very beautiful moment that a student brother shared once. He was sitting just right in front of Trai Vrindavan. And so there was this senior elder who was sitting next to him. And he said, who is Bhagwan? So this boy said, God. How do you know he's God? He said, he's God. Swami says he's God. Swami says he's God. How do you know he's God? This boy didn't want to talk much because, you know, sitting right in front of Trai Vrindavan, anytime Swami might come. But that elder persisted. He said, no, you tell me. He said, no, Swami is omniscient. How do you know he's omniscient? This boy had no clue. He told, okay, sir, you only tell, I don't know. And then this man says, see, have you seen pictures in Hindu homes where you will have this huge cow? And in the cow, there will be pictures of different deities actually.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen those pictures where, you know, different organs of the cow, there will be different deities. And so he said, just imagine the world to be like that. So basically the whole world is that body of God.
Correct.
Where everybody is just part of it. As Swami says, the Atma is not in you, you are in the Atma.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is actually just part of it. So because it is just one body, so just like what happens to the one hand, the other hand just automatically knows because it is just one body. What happens to the feet, the eye knows because it's just the same body. This communication is already instant. There's nothing needed to be communicated. There is no need to know. It is just automatically known.
Correct. Swami says when the ant moves on your leg,
yes,
automatically you know that there's an ant.
Yes.
So you don't. Or if something hits your foot, there will be tears from your eyes.
Yes.
So there's no need for foot to tell, hey, by mobile or internet, I have got hurt.
Yes.
It's just a response
yes.
to the hurt. So this is how well knit the body is, because basis is again consciousness.
Yes.
Now this is one cell of Lord, I think
yes.
very nicely put,
yes.
that the whole world is the body of God.
And very interestingly, this man explains this to the boy. The boy is actually very zapped. First time he was listening this such an explanation, he was dazed actually, trying to absorb. And just at that moment, actually the thrai door opens and Bhagwan comes straight to this boy and tells, take namaskar.
Wow.
Wonderful. We have been given a new lesson.
And he says, from that day, never ever I doubted the omnipresence of Bhagwan. Because that understanding, because it came, he said, from that day I never doubted whether Swami knows this or not. Many times, as students also, we used to think, oh, this thing Swami knows, or, you know, or is it that when he wants to know, then he comes to know?
Yeah, actually, you know, boy who used to be with Swami for a number of years, he observed that, in fact, he... when he confessed openly that when, before he came, he never had faith in Swami as an omnipresent, omniscient, or God. So he observed that Swami comes invariably, interacts with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he concluded that because I am sitting in the first row, so easy for Swami to come and talk to me and refer to what he talked previous day or earlier days. So he said, that's okay. Then one day it so happened, this boy's elder brother, he had studied in our college, and he had requested for younger brother to get the admission, which Swami gave. Now this younger brother has so many doubts. Just to erase the doubt, Swami gave him an opportunity that, see, what is your name? He gave the name. Then Swami said, your father is so-and-so. Your elder brother is so-and-so. Your mother serves your father. Then he said, what's so great about it? My elder brother, he would have told Swami all these things. Swami is just trying to show that he knows everything. Okay? Then Swami created a ring for him another day. This is not everything happened in one day, several days. Swami created a ring for him, and he said that you can inform your mother that Swami has given you a ring. He did it in the night. Next day Swami said, did you inform her? Yes, Swami. What did she tell you? He was quiet. Then Swami told him that she told you that this ring Swami has given you, see that it never falls off from your hand. Be very careful. It's more precious than your even life. So be very, very cautious that it should not... Did she not tell you this? Then he said, Adi, Swami listens to the conversation I had over telephone. Now this is not my elder brother would have told my mother or Swami. Okay, still doubting Thomas. One day, Swami told him, go to the such and such group people are seated in the darshan ground. This boy, young boy, do you see? Yes, Swami. Go and ask him what is his name. he will tell you this name. Ask him, where did he come from? He will tell you he has come from London. What is he doing? He is pursuing medicine. How many days he will be here? Everything, 6 questions Swami said and gave him the answers. Hmm. Go. At random Swami picked up. You see that boy? Okay. He went, asked these 6 questions, came back. Swami said, what did he say? Swami, you know everything, Swami. So, this is how Swami used to instill in the minds of students that he is omnipresent, omniscience, and even omnipotence. Even for the omnipotence also, I have a familiar story, but I don't know whether time will permit.
Yes, sir, we will have it. We will make the listeners wait for it.
Yeah,
we have a program next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, but God means something much more than even these 3 characteristics.
Wow.
Yeah. So we
that is also another story you have to share next time. Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. I know you can go on because it is, I don't know, it is perhaps more than 3-4 decades of interactions with Bhagwan, but the wisdom that, you know, what we have got is every second it was a Veda that was being unveiled. And it's so wonderful that, you know, you have preserved so many of such profound moments with the avatar. And this is our treasure. Thank you so much for coming and sharing these.
It is my pleasure, in fact, that you give me an opportunity to, as I said earlier also, relive those moments I enjoy. It just comes spontaneously, so nice, and I can feel that, yes, it just happened a few hours or maybe yesterday it happened, and I'm sharing with you. I'm very happy, grateful to you all.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
So we are all grateful to Bhagwan ultimately for this amazing opportunity that he has given us, and let's pray that, you know, this satsang continues. We have still 2 more segments for chapter 10, and we pray and hope that you can join us next week too to complete this chapter. So, dear listeners, with that, it's time to bring to an end this day-long Thursday Live. Thank you so much for being with us. As always, our humble request, please send us your feedback. Tell us what you feel about this program. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Please take time out and read the Vahini Satsang. Try to see what you can make translate into your life, whatever you're reading, and share with us your experiences of walking on this path that Bhagwan has so painstakingly written for all of us. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.